Hello and welcome to the latest edition of NAREIT's REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Borkson-Kito, and joining me today is Jeffrey Stoops, President and CEO of SBA Communications, a wireless infrastructure REIT active in North, Central, and South American markets. Jeffrey, welcome to the REIT Report.
Hi, Sarah. Happy to be here.
So, Jeffrey, SBA has been in operation for close to 30 years now. And for those not familiar with the company, can you give us a quick sense of the range of activities that you're involved in today?
Yes, we started out in 1989 providing basically a wide range of development services for wireless carriers, zoning, site acquisition, permitting, construction management. And then we took those skill sets and actually began to move into the asset ownership and rental business in 1997, which has become our primary focus. Today, we own close to and operate close to 30,000 towers across the Western Hemisphere, all the way from the upper reaches of Canada down to the tips of Argentina and Chile.
And how would you describe the current leasing environment, both domestically and internationally?
Actually, in the United States, the domestic leasing environment is probably as good as it has been in the last 4 or 5 years. All four of the major U.S. wireless carriers, those, of course, being AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile, are all actually fairly reasonably busy, which is the first time that that has been the case for all four of them in, as I say, 3, 4, 5 years. So they're each pursuing different types of projects. All of them are doing a variety of projects and enhancements that ultimately will benefit their transitions to 5G. And we are the beneficiary of that, both in terms of new leases and new tenancies on towers where those customers may not have already been, and where they are currently located, where they're adding equipment to existing tenancies.
And you mentioned
internationally. One of the reasons we were so interested and keen to go international is the U.S. market has always been 10 years or so ahead of most of the international markets, at least in the Western Hemisphere, where we have focused. So we actually, through our U.S. experience, have had a great deal of kind of history and the ability to observe how wireless carriers build their networks out. So we've actually been able to project and predict how the wireless carriers in these international markets would develop. And it really has played out quite as we thought it would. So in the international markets, we are seeing the same types of development and growth, although for the most part, I would say several years behind where the carriers are in the United States. So it really is playing out to the same script that we have seen here in the United States, which allows us, of course, to understand how we want to position our assets and operations in those markets.
And you mentioned 5G technology, and it sounds like you're already gearing up for that. What's the impact on your strategy going forward?
Well, our strategy hasn't really changed over the years as we have migrated first through, basically what was then the dawn of cellular, which was 1G technology, and then 2G to 3G to 4G. And now as our customers begin to move towards 5G, it's always been about having unique assets, exclusive assets that are well positioned to be in places where our customers, need them to deploy and deliver their service. And really what that means for 5G is to have those assets ready for what will be new spectrum that will be deployed, new equipment, because the equipment that really will be necessary to truly deploy 5G is just now being developed and deployed. That will mean new radios, new antennas. So we'll have to help facilitate all those changes and additions on our towers. And it will also mean a greater densification, which means more cell sites for our customers. And of course, we benefit from that because it just means that they need more points of presence, because one of the necessities of 5G to accomplish the greater speeds and the greater lack of latencies, the speeds by which the transmissions occur, is the cell sites have to be closer together. And of course, that is something that we think, will ultimately, we will get to play a big role in and will help benefit our industry. So we're very excited about this next generation. And just as we have played a critical and a front row role in the migration of each next generation, 2G to 3G to 4G, we expect to do the same as we move to 5G.
And what sort of impact is that introduction of 5G having on the acquisitions that you're thinking of making going forward?
Well, it's we think about it not so much in terms of 5G versus, say, 4G, or what in fact may be 6G, because I don't believe that 5G will be the last of the technology migrations. In my 20 years in the business, there's always something else, and you have to always be ready for that. But what we have always focused on is high-quality assets that are hard, if not impossible, to replace, that are well-positioned, well-protected, and that actually are in places where our customers, will need them, and they will serve, as critical junctures for the delivery of wireless communications. And that really hasn't changed, Sarah, over, ever since we got into our initial focus of turning the business into an asset owner.
Okay. And finally, I wanted to ask you about the proposed Sprint T-Mobile merger. What could that mean for the industry going forward?
Well, it's certainly something that, we're watching very closely. As a landlord, type business model, where we have space that we lease out to our customers, you always like to have more potential tenants than not. So in that sense, having four customers go to three could be perceived as a negative, but actually it's much more positive than that, because over the years, Sprint and T-Mobile have not been able to invest with the same degree of capacity and size that AT&T and Verizon have been able to invest. And by combining their forces, you actually will now be able to see a company, should it be approved. And, that's the big question for the transaction. And I'm not sure anybody really knows the answer to that. That's why we're watching it all very closely. But should it be approved, you'll have a company that will likely be able to spend and invest in its network to a greater degree than either, Sprint or T-Mobile could have on their own, and probably to a greater degree than than Sprint plus T-Mobile were doing as independent companies. So there will be a lot of additional investment should those companies come together, not the least of which because they run on different spectrums and run on different types of equipment, and they will need to integrate that and coordinate that, and that's going to require a tremendous amount of new and changed equipment, and that's going to mean a lot of work for SBA and the rest of our industry. But it's going to require a lot of work either way, whether they remain independent and continue to stay on independent paths, or whether they combine and then bring the companies together. So it is something that we're watching carefully, but in either event, we expect to stay very, very busy.
Okay, that's great, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And for all my pleasure. Thank you, Sarah.
And for our listeners, be sure to visit NAREIT's website, REIT.com, for previous episodes of the REIT Report.